So I wanted to read you guys some of the ratings and the reviews that I got for the podcast. Some of the ones I got here, I have Truly Geeky. There's no higher honor I can bestow than that. Well, I could declare it emperor of the known universe, I suppose. But if the emperor is not geeky, then who really cares? 5 stars. Nice. Let's see here. A great show for the local and for the local nerd and beyond. Nice. Also 5 stars. I love listening to these nerds. Super entertaining. 5 stars. Thank you. New year, new episodes. What more could you ask for? 5 stars. Nice. And we also have a great listen. 5 stars. And then there's, of course, because, you know, I wanted to at least have one on there. I didn't expect to get more, but that's awesome. The first one is from me. It says, I'm biased, but I think I think it's a great podcast. 5 stars. Yes, yeah, I rated and reviewed my own podcast, folks. So if you want to also do a rating and a review, and I'll read these once I get new ones. These are all kind of old, but I haven't had any new ones in a while. If you want to give me a rating and a review, you can go to rate.206geek.com, and that will take you to where you can find the links for Apple Podcast and Podchaser. Both are free, and you can set up an account if you don't already have one, and then rate and review the podcast. If you would do that, that'd be great. The more people that rate and review the podcast, the more the podcast becomes visible, more people see it, more people subscribe and download. That'd be great if you did that. Thanks.
We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, hi, I'm Todd, the 206 Geek, and I am your host. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. You know, I've been working hard on, I've been working anyway. On another podcast called It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd. That would be me. That podcast is, those two that I record with are both comedians, and basically every episode they interview one of their contemporaries, you know, one of their buddies, one of their friends, one of their comedian pals, and we all talk about, you know, we have topical things to talk about. We have Jamal pulls some stories, so does Marianne, and sometimes I do as well. We pull some stories on things to talk about, and they engage with the guest, and it's been a lot of fun. We just broke 40 episodes last week, or just a few days ago actually. You know, and I'm the one that does all the technical side of things on the podcast. Although it's been a new experience for me because I haven't done a lot of remote podcasting with other people, and we started using Zoom, and so it's a bit of a learning curve for me. And it's definitely a it's a learning experience for those guys because they hadn't podcasted before, except for maybe once or twice when they've been on my show. And so if you haven't already, you got to go check out my other podcast, It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd. Or you can find it on your favorite podcasting app, or you can just go to notaboutyoupod.com. That's not about the letter U, pod.com. And, of course, you probably have heard me talk about that on the beginning of other episodes of this podcast. I usually insert a little bit of an advert. I think this week I will not do that because I've already talked about it. But please, definitely, if you want to hear more than just my nerdy stuff, you want to hear me and my cousin and our friend talk about current events, and we've talked about all kinds of stuff. So check it out. We record every Sunday, and then new episodes come out on Tuesdays and on Fridays because there are 2-hour recordings. I split them up into 2 episodes. And I figure, you know, having 2 episodes a week is probably a good way to start the podcast. And I'm getting notifications on my phone here. I need to go ahead and mute that. All right. I don't know if you heard that or not. Hopefully you didn't, but I heard it. So maybe you did. All right. Some of the stories I have for today. I have Netflix is cracking down on password sharing. We have an artist creates a perfect flat cat Tom and Jerry stair rug. Then we have no, Kevin Smith is not giving away $20,000. And let's see here. Disney Plus's Willow TV series has cast somebody in the lead role, so we'll talk about that. Star Wars fans build massive replica of the Mandalorian's Razor Crest. Pretty damn cool, if you ask me. And then we have Star Wars. Benedict Cumberbatch has no interest in playing this role. And let's see here. The next couple stories I have, we have, what is this? Steppenwolf and Darkseid take the spotlight of the latest Justice League teaser. All right. And we have The Flash has confirmed, basically, I don't want to read the name, but they've confirmed who's going to be playing a key character in the movie. And then the last thing I have here, rent a night in a UFO in the middle of the California desert. I'll talk about that. That sounds interesting. Something I might even want to do. Actually, probably not. I don't like being in the heat. So, all right, let's get to this, man. Netflix is cracking down on password sharing. Oh, man. So, let's see what this says here. It looks like Netflix is finally beginning to crack down on one of the oldest streaming practices known to users around the globe. Password and login sharing has existed as long as Netflix has. Friends and family share accounts with one another, so only one bill is paid for the entertainment for everyone. There has always been talk of Netflix exploring a way to cut down on password sharing, and it appears as though the streaming service has finally begun to do just that. Some customers are starting to get prompts when they log into Netflix onto Netflix that tells them that they need to be living in the same household as the owner of the account. The message includes a verification code option for those who do not, who do happen to be the account holder if they are logging on from a different location. Okay. Sorry, let me try reading that again without tripping over it. Some customers are starting to get a prompt when they log into Netflix that tells them that they need to be living in the same household as the owner of the account. The message includes a verification code option for those who do happen to be the account holder if they are logging on from a different location. Let's see here. It shows a screenshot. If you don't live with the owner of this account, you need your own account to keep watching. That's what it says on the screenshot this guy took of, well, this person, I should say. I don't know if this is a guy or not. Wow, okay. So for now, it appears solely on TV devices. If you're watching on Roku or iPhone, you won't be seeing a message like this, at least not yet. According to Netflix, this is a test that the company is adding to certain devices that is aimed not necessarily to take away password sharing, but to make sure people aren't using Netflix account without permission. All right, that's good to know. I was worried for a second because I used my sister's account. I was like, man, I'm not going to have Netflix anymore. All right, I'm going to set this down. I don't know what you guys think. Do you think this is I mean, Netflix already gets a lot of money from subscribers, but do you think they're just maybe going a bit too far with this? Do you think it's really that big a deal that people share their login? I mean, who's to say that every person who has the login doesn't help pay, you know? Some people are just in like below the poverty line, or people who don't have enough money to throw down for all the different services out there. So you share. It's fine if they, you know, I understand they're protecting their service. They don't want, you know, it getting abused, especially if you have, you know, a lot of people using your login. I don't think there's many people using my sister's login, so that's, I don't know if that will be an issue for me, to be honest. But it's still like, okay, really? All right, so this next story here, it's more or less just, it's not really even a story as much as it is a cool image. If you're new to the podcast, I always put links to everything I talk about in the show notes. Recently, I started actually putting, because I discovered that I could link in the show notes. I didn't think I could before. I thought, you know, putting links was hyperlinks into the show notes didn't really work. But I've noticed recently that they do work, so I've been putting them in there. I used to put them on the Facebook page, so people can just go to the Facebook page and look. But I have so many things posting to Facebook. Actually, a lot of these stories come from comicbook.com, so they probably already are on the Facebook page. So some of these that I'm going to be reading stories are not from comicbook.com. So I'm going to put all the show notes and then the links to everything I talk about in the show notes either way. But if I tell you that the story is from comicbook.com, chances are it's already been shared to the Facebook page. I have it set up so that when something is posted to comicbook.com, it is shared to my social media, because I really like that website. The website has all kinds of great stories. So anyways, this story that I have here, artist creates perfect flat cat from Tom and Jerry stair rug. Now, if you're not familiar, there's a, I don't remember which episode or anything, but there's an episode of Tom and Jerry where something, I think what happens is Tom gets flattened somehow, and he ends up landing on the stairs, so he's like rippled onto the stairs. So his ears are on the third step, and then his chest is on the second step, and his lap is on the first step. You'll see if you check out the link in the show notes. So this is what it says here. If you've watched the classic TV show Tom and Jerry, during your childhood. I'm sure you remember a few scenes when Tom got flattened by a random object, then proceeded to slither down the stair. Pancake style. Artist at Nella F. inspired himself from one of those scenes to create the flat cat rug, one of the most perfect rugs I've ever seen. Behold, and it shows a photo. And there's actually a screenshot from the cartoon that shows him on the stairway. And then it shows the rug just laying flat on the floor too. Nice. All right. That's just so awesome. All right. Next story. No, Kevin Smith is not giving away $20,000. I missed this, and I'm glad that's not true, because I'll be like, oh, I'll never get it. Kevin Smith is a busy man with many projects ranging from his multiple movies pop-up locations and the new Jay and Silent Bob Secret Stash to writing new follow-ups to classic films Clerks and Mallrats. Well, Smith has certainly been generous in the past. We're sorry to report that director has no plans to give away $20,000. If you see something of the sort floating around Facebook, it's a scam. Smith responded to a couple tweets about the supposed giveaway today, revealed the funny reason why fans should know it's a fake. Quote, hey, at Kevin Smith, or excuse me, hey, at that Kevin Smith, did you know you were being so generous? LOL, I'll gladly take $20,000 off your hands. So, LOL. If so, LOL. At, this is Ibandemonium tweeted, quote, scam, this is not me, but if the scammers were good at their jobs, the prize would have been $27.57.5, Smith replied. I don't know if you know about this, but someone on Facebook's pretending to be you and promising to give away $20,000. I'm assuming it's a scam and not actually you. Thought you should know. Dear Facebook, this is a scam. It's not me. Please spread the word or delete. See if the scammers were any good. Blah, 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 blah. I already read that part. And the $27,575 was the budget for Clerks. He goes, that shit might have even fooled me, Smith added. That's too funny. There's a screenshot of the fake. Congratulations. For those of you who I comment on, or those of you who suddenly I add as a friend on my personal account, you have been selected as a blah 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 blah. All right. Oh man. You know, scammers are getting clever, but I get scam emails all the time, and I always, you know, I go, this is not real. In fact, most of the scam emails I get go straight to my spam folder, because I have been marking anything and everything that is not like legit is spam, and Gmail spam folder or spam filter is a learning filter, so it knows what I don't want to see and just automatically starts throwing things into the spam folder. And I do check my spam folder on occasion just to make sure something didn't accidentally get thrown in there, but majority of the stuff that is in there is are actual scams or just spam in general. I do occasionally get phone calls. I actually had one earlier today. It was either earlier today or it was yesterday. The scam artist actually asked me about a domain that I used to own. I no longer own the domain. I let it expire. But somehow they thought it was still mine. They contacted me because I'm sure my contact information was available on the Whois for that domain. And anyways, I'm like, yeah, I don't own that domain anymore. I don't know what you're trying to sell, but you know, don't call me again. Remove me from your list. I don't know. I've had the Social Security scam callers call me and leave voicemails, kind of nasty voicemails, actually. I had it when they've called and I've answered the phone and they always sound like they sound like they have an accent from another country. Either way, I don't know what country they're from. I don't want to assume they're any one particular group of people. But they definitely have accents, and they're always like, "Hi, I'm Steve." I was like, "Okay, Steve. No, I don't. You whatever you're selling, I'm not interested. And I remember one of them actually saying that they were from Microsoft. I was like, interesting, because you know, I haven't purchased any Microsoft products in well over 10 years at this point. I don't know why Microsoft would be wanting to call me 10 years after the fact. That seems a bit weird. If you haven't ever seen, there is a YouTube channel. If you do a search for Malcolm Merlyn on YouTube, do a search for Malcolm Merlyn Scammers. And this guy's channel, basically, he pranks the scammers. He hacks their computers and all that, and it is very amusing to watch. That's all I'm going to say about that. But this thing with, I'm not at all surprised that Kevin Smith is not giving away $20,000. I can't imagine he's not poor, but I don't see him throwing away $20,000. Willy-nilly. I think if he was going to donate that kind of money, it would be for a charity, or you know, if he was putting it into a project, a legitimate project, you know, to help that project. But I don't see him just saying, "Hey, you look like a cool dude on Facebook and or Twitter, or whatever. I want to give you $20,000." I don't see him doing that. Not that I know the man. I enjoy his movies and his podcast. All right. Next story we have here. Disney Plus's Willow TV series has cast Ruby Cruz in lead role. It says here, Lucasfilm's Willow series for Disney Plus continues to undergo changes from previously made announcements. Excuse me. Okay, I'm sorry. I got like a dust particle or something in my throat. All right, let me try reading that again. Lucasfilm's Willow series for Disney Plus continues to undergo changes from previously made announcements as actress Ruby Cruz. You probably better known her from Hulu's Castle Rock, has been tapped for one of the leading roles in the series, replacing Pacific Rim's Uprising Kaylee Spani, who was announced back in November. Cruz joins a cast that includes Ellie Bammer, Aaron Kellyman. Opposite her, with Warwick Davis returning to the title role, reprising his part from the original 1988 film. Jonathan Kasdan, and Wendy Muricil? I don't know. I'm butchering names. I apologize. I'm not pretending to know people how to pronounce their names. I'm probably saying it wrong. Wendy with the last name that looks like Miracle. she's probably known for, it says here, Arrow. Serve as executive producers and co-showrunners on the series. So that's Jonathan Kasdan and Wendy Miracle are producers and co-showrunners. Deadline first reported the news that Cruz has joined the series. The trio of female leads will appear as members of a group on a mission to save a captive prince. Bammer is Dove, a kitchen maid who learns she is the chosen one, with Cruz as Kit, the captured prince's twin sister, and Kellyman as Jade, who is Kit's servant and best friend. Filming is scheduled to begin in the spring of this year in Wales. No premiere date or window has been revealed for the series yet, but it has been in development for a few years, as Kasdan took to Twitter over a year ago to reveal that a writer's room for the series has been opened. In addition to Cruz, the addition of Cruz to the series isn't the first replacement that's been made in the series, as originally director John M. Cho departed the project due to unforeseen scheduling issues stemming from various production delays caused by the pandemic. It was previously confirmed in his place Jonathan Entwistle, God, these names, best known for directing Netflix's The End of the Effing World and I Am Not Okay With This, had signed on to direct the pilot and serve as executive producer. Both of those shows on Netflix, or movies rather, are really good. Actually, I'm Not Okay With This is a series. The End of the Effing World, I believe I watched that, and that was pretty good. I'm pretty sure I watched that. Let's see here. It says, quote, "With its epic world of swords, sorcery, and adventure, Willow captivated and influenced so many." Entwistle previously said in a statement, "I'm excited to be going on this journey and working with John and Wendy to create something that is both deeply rooted in the original film and also a fresh, funny, and charming addition to the beloved story. To be able to play within the world so painstakingly crafted by Ron back in 1988 is a dream come true for me." That is so cool. I forgot that the show was even going to be a thing. I know I've talked about it on the podcast before, and I'm looking forward to seeing Willow the TV series. I know it's going to be entertaining. If you've seen or heard the most recent episode of It's Not About You, I go on a bit of a rant about people who watch movies so critically, and they convince themselves before they even watch it that they're not going to like it. And then when it doesn't meet their high expectations, they get very angry with how terrible they think the movie is. I used to do that myself. I legit used to watch movies and go, "This is god awful. Why would they do it like that?" Well, I've since kind of adopted I'm going to just take it as it is, watch it, and if it doesn't spark joy, I don't need to fucking watch it. I'll go watch something else. But if it is entertaining, regardless of plot holes and or just terrible writing, if it's still entertaining, if it's not so bad as to like, if the movie takes me out of the story and I'm just like, I'm not able to like engage with the story, then yeah, I'll just stop watching it. But if I don't have a problem with that and I'm able to just enjoy what I'm seeing, I'll enjoy it for what it is. I'm not expecting anything from it. I'm not like, oh, this has got to have this, this has got to do that. And that's kind of how I was with the new Star Wars movies. I didn't have any expectations other than I was going to see some key actors in a movie again, playing parts they played when I was a kid. That was my only expectation. I didn't care if the story made sense. I didn't care if, you know, there were gaping holes into why was that there? What purpose did that serve? You know, is that going to lead to this? I didn't think like that. I was just watching it and enjoying it for what it was. And I've been like that for probably about a decade now. I stopped really kind of picking movies apart about a decade ago, because it was ruining my experience going to the movies. And I loved going to the movies. And even though I don't get to leave the house to go watch movies, I do watch movies on streaming services now. I have two Fire TV devices. I have a Fire TV Edition 32-inch TV in my bedroom, and I have a Fire Cube in the living room attached to the TV out there. And I watch all kinds of stuff on those things. I enjoy watching them in the privacy of my own home, because number one, I know that there's not going to be some random asshole playing on their phone while I'm trying to watch a movie. I know something's not going to like interrupt me while I'm engaged in a movie. And if someone walks up and says, "Hey Todd, blah blah blah," or I get a phone call, I can pause it at home. I can pause it so I don't miss anything. So going a bit of a rant there.
You're a weird dude, Todd.
I know. Oh man. All right, so.
Meanwhile, back at the podcast.
Okay, so there isn't much else to that story, so let's move on to the next story here. So, apparently a Star Wars fan has built his very own Razor Crest. If you do not know what the Razor Crest is, it is the Mandalorian's spaceship. And it's not a small ship. I mean, it's not as big as the Millennium Falcon, but it's bigger than an X-Wing and a TIE Fighter. It's probably roughly about the same size as Boba Fett's Slave One ship. And if you're not a Star Wars person, you're like, huh, what? What are those things? Those are words, right? Yes. So, if I was going to give you a size comparison, for the Razor Claw, I think I would have to say, I would say it's about the size of a standalone single car garage. If you had a single car garage that was not attached to your house, that's about the size of the Razor Claw. I know that, you know, not every garage is, or you know what I could compare to, think of like a real world vehicle. I should compare to that. I would say it's about the size of a dump truck, maybe a little taller, a bit wider because of where the engines, like the because it has wings on it too. Either way, in this article there is a photo or a video of the Razor Claw. So if you do not know what I'm talking about, and I'm just like saying a bunch of random syllables to you. You can check out the story in the show notes. This actually gives dimensions here to the story. So let me read this to you guys. Star Wars The Mandalorian won't be back for a while, which means Disney Plus subscribers have been focused on WandaVision and the upcoming The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But that does not mean Star Wars fans haven't forgotten about Din Djarin and Baby Yoda, or Grogu. The show's second season featured a tragic loss that many are still mourning, the Razor Crest. Mando's ship took him to many adventures, but did not survive Chapter 14, The Tragedy. One Star Wars fan recently made the news by creating a massive Razor Crest that would do Jon Favreau proud. The video shared by CBS News reveals the ship was recreated in Russia and took over a year to make. That means they started before the TV ship was destroyed. So the folks behind the recreation probably mourned that loss harder than most. A lot of work went into the creation, and one of the folks involved even sold their cat to help pay for the construction. They sold their cat. Oh my God, really? He sold their cat. The finished model ended up being 46 feet long, 33 feet wide, and 13 feet tall. You can check out the video of the ship in the tweet below. Oh man. This isn't the one from the show. Wow. Oh, it's a time-lapse video of them building the ship. That is so cool. Looks like it's made of wood. This is so cool. Yeah, it looks like it's made of wood. This is really cool. Holy shit. Right on. The article goes on to saying the Razor Crest may be gone, but that does not mean the end of Mando. Recently, one of Pedro Pascal's stunt doubles for The Mandalorian, Brendan Wayne, confirmed on social media that Pascal will be returning to the show for season 3. No spoilers, but in this case, the world didn't know yet. Pedro Pascal is incredible. The performer shared on Instagram. The journey they wrote for him this season was so beautiful. The fact that Pedro went beyond the page and made this epic. Thank you, Pedro. Yes, Pedro's coming back. There was never any question. Do not believe everything you read in capital letters. And then it says here, there's a lot more to look forward to from Star Wars, including the Book of Boba Fett, which will be a separate show from The Mandalorian, but with the same creative team. That's not the only new project on Lucasfilm's lineup. During the Disney Investor Day live stream back in December, Kathleen Kennedy announced a batch of new projects. Kennedy shared that two new Disney Plus shows, Ahsoka and Rangers of the New Republic, will tie in with The Mandalorian. Confirmed the untitled Star Wars film from Thor Ragnarok director Taika Waititi. Revealed Hayden Christensen is joining the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Shared footage from Leslie Headland's new show, The Bad Batch gave fans a glimpse at the upcoming Rogue One prequel series Andor, and more. So you knew that there was going to be an Andor series, and I knew that Hayden Christensen was going to be on the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which will be cool, because maybe we can see a better version of Anakin Skywalker that isn't whiny and or just like a giant man baby. I really should go back and rewatch the prequels. That's what I'll do. I'll rewatch the prequels and do like a full review of you know what, I might even do commentary tracks. That's what I'll do. I'll record me watching the movie, and you can hear me talking about the different scenes in the movie and what I think of it now versus how I felt back then. Which, to be honest, when I watched the original, when I watched them originally in theaters, the prequels, I didn't hate them when I watched them the first time around. I didn't actually start to dislike them until I started hearing people whining and complaining about them and how the various things that they didn't like or whatever. I was like, okay, I can see that. I can totally see that. But originally, when I watched those three movies, I enjoyed them a lot. In fact, I think the only complaint I had when I watched them originally was, I think the Clone Wars is episode 2, right? I think that's the one I didn't like, because I thought the love story was a bit much. I think we could have done without the love story. But then again, I don't dislike love stories. I didn't think it was necessary for Star Wars to have a love story. Yes, there were love interests in the original trilogy, but it didn't dominate the story. It wasn't all about Han Solo and Princess Leia, you know, having love for one another. Because they clearly did, because they end up having Ben, right? So, I don't know. I got a few more stories to go through, and I've only got 20 minutes left in this episode. So let me get on to these next stories. Another Star Wars story. Benedict Cumberbatch has no interest in playing Thrawn. I can see why people want him to play Thrawn, because he has very chiseled, very stern British look about his face. If he's having a bad day, he looks very stern anyway. Or when he played, there's a couple parts where he played kind of a grouchy person. Actually, I think, you know what? Doctor Strange is kind of a, you know, serious person. He doesn't joke around much, so maybe that's what it was. Anyways, it says here, Star Wars fans have been hoping to see Grand Admiral Thrawn come to the world of live action for years. And while many of you hope to see Doctor Strange star Benedict Cumberbatch take on the villain, the actor isn't at all interested in the process of bringing the blue-skinned character to life. Regardless of how compelling the character might be, Cumberbatch detailed that he is not interested in undergoing whatever makeup process might be required to make the character become a reality. While Cumberbatch might not be interested in the character, live action debut seems imminent. Following Ahsoka's mention of him in season 2 of Mandalorian, when Collider asked Cumberbatch if he heard fans' interest about the character, the actor was unaware of who he was, questioning Grand Admiral Thrawn. Does he turn into Grand Moff Tarkin or something? That's funny. I don't know why it's funny. It just is. After being informed that he's a blue-skinned villain, Cumberbatch confirmed, "That's a straight no for me. Right now, there's no way I want to be turned blue. I turned the air blue very recently. No, seriously. I have precious time with my children. I think sitting in a makeup chair and being painted blue and the amount of time it would take to do that and then take it off at the end of the day might just... It's not the right time in my life for that. It sounds like, you know what? That's awesome. It sounds like he's taken the priority of his young children is first and foremost for him. And you know what? Cool. I think more people should do that where they, all right, if it's going to take me hours and hours and hours just to get into character and then I have to do the thing with that character for hours and hours and hours, he's basically like he's spending all of his time working and he's not being able to be there for his kids. And I can totally get that. Yeah, that's awesome. One thing I would say, if people really, really, really want Cumberbatch as Thrawn, maybe tell Lucasfilm to make Thrawn, digital, make his skin, his blue skin, a digital thing, you know, so he could do like a motion capture headset and, you know, and they can in post-production, they can turn his skin blue, you know, all right, not yet. Just do that. They don't even need to do a motion capture thing. They could just, you know, post-production, turn his skin blue. That way he doesn't have to go through hours and hours and hours of makeup to play the part, you know, or make Thrawn a digital character, you know, because he doesn't have he has a giant five head, right? He has a big head from what I remember. He doesn't look human. He's blue. He's got just giant features on his face. Oh man. I think it's awesome that he would much rather spend time with his kids than spend all that time in the makeup chair. All right, so this next story, we have three stories left. I'm going to do that here in the next, get these out in the next 15 minutes. Steppenwolf and Darkseid take the spotlight of the latest Justice League teaser. Now, folks, if you're not familiar or if you didn't hear last week when I talked about this before, the four-hour Justice League that Zack Snyder made will be coming out a week from today. Today is March 11th. And Justice League will be on HBO Max next Thursday, the 18th. I am so excited. I don't know if you can tell. I'm super excited. Oh my God. And it just clicked. That's the day after St. Patrick's Day. St. Patty's Day. And that's a big thing in my family because my grandmother, my mother's mother, was from Ireland. And, speaking of Ireland, and if you don't have enough green clothing or green stuff for your St. Patrick's Day celebration, you can go to shop.206geek.com and get your St. Patrick's Day 206 Geek gear. We have t-shirts and hoodies and phone cases, face masks. It's basically the podcast logo. But instead of the little geek face, it has a leprechaun, and then the Space Needle silhouette has a shamrock on there. So, the shirts and everything are green, so you can wear your green and show your pride in your Irish heritage, and or if you just like the color green and you like my podcast. I don't know if, I mean, I suppose if you do like the expedited shipping, you can have it by next week. I know that there's a process of printing the design on a shirt and then they send the shirt out. That takes some time. So I should have done this before March. I should have said, hey, I have this stuff on the shop. Go get it. So get your St. Patrick's Day 206 Geek gear at the shop, shop.206geek.com. All right, so this story here, back to, sorry, I got distracted with the realizing that this is released the day after St. Patrick's Day. And I'm going to play this clip.
This world is divided. Too separate to be one. No protectors here. This world will fall.
I'm so looking forward to seeing this.
For Dark Side.
Dark Side.
I have turned 100,000 worlds to dust. When this world is scorched, all of existence shall be mine.
I am so excited to see this. I can't state that enough. With every new trailer or teaser that I see for this movie, I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait. And you know what? I'm not intimidated at all by the fact that the movie is going to be 4 hours long. Oh my God, this is going to be so good. So good. All right. Awesome. Next story on the list of things to talk about. The Flash, the movie, the DC Extended Universe movie, The Flash. It looks like Kiersey Clemons confirmed to star as Iris West. Oh. I didn't know the name, but she does look familiar. I don't know where from. Let's see, read the story and see what it says, because it might say where we know her from. Score one for those Zack Snyder Justice League and or Restore the Snyder Universe fans out there. Actress Kiersey Clemons is confirmed to star as Iris West in the Flash movie. The report comes from the Hollywood Reporter, who got the exclusive word that Clemons has signed on with Warner Brothers, the Flash director Andy. The guy who directed it, I'm not going to butcher that guy's last name again, to play the love interest of Barry Allen, the Flash, played by Ezra Miller. Clemons made her debut as Iris in Zack Snyder's original cut of Justice League, but saw her role cut from Joss Whedon's theatrical cut of the film. Fans will finally get to see her performance when Zack Snyder's Justice League debuts on HBO Max next week. Okay. The Flash movie has quickly become a big multiverse event from DC and Warner Brothers. The film will see Michael Keaton return as Batman, the mentor to Ezra Miller's Flash, while also featuring Ben Affleck's Batman. Sasha Calle will play a new version of Supergirl in the film. The Flash concept art has further teased the kind of multiverse action and adventure DC fans are in for. According to Andy, the director, the film will take you to a place where the DC universe hasn't gone before, so it's very exciting. You know what? If this movie turns out as good as it sounds, they may be able to make up for the lackluster the last few DC movies that people have been shitting on. So we'll see. Although, you know what? The people that shit on those movies are probably going to shit on this too, honestly. They're going to be, you know, yeah. I don't want to go into that again. You've heard me complain about that, you know, already once today. All right. And the last story I have here is rent a night in a UFO in the middle of the California desert. Let me zoom in on this a little bit because the letters on this page are kind of are hard to read. All right. How would you react to the arrival of a UFO on Earth soil? Would you succumb to fear and distrust like that soldier at the beginning of the day the Earth stood still? Or would you give in to curiosity and climb aboard like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind? If you lean towards the latter, then you may have a trip to Joshua Tree in your future. California's renowned national park has become touchdown site for an extraterrestrial vessel. More accurately, an Airbnb designed to look like a extraterrestrial vessel, but it sure does seem to nail the vibe. And there's a photo. You know what? I think I've actually seen this before. It may have been... I have seen this before, I think. Do they show internal photos of this house? Of course, now I'm having trouble scrolling. Computer, stop it. Oh, that's probably why it wants to load a fucking video. All right. Oh, yeah, there is photos of the inside. It has a very kind of the decor of the inside looks like the Jetsons. We have like the egg chair from Men in Black, or something similar. We also have lots of pillows and strangely shaped furniture. The Futuro House series hails from the mind of the late Finnish architect Matti Suuronen, Suuronen. I'm butchering that name, I'm sure, too. He launched the concept in 1968, which ultimately grew into a worldwide phenomenon. The Joshua Tree location, a.k.a. Area 55, boasts 520 square feet. Inside, you'll find two queen beds, a couch, some spacey chair pods, and typical glamping amenities. The bedroom appears to be a separate outhouse on the property, owned by a host listed only as Ronald. The bright red vessel sits in the middle of a 5-acre plot of land. At the time of this writing, a night in the Futuro House will run you $225. The house appears to be booked solid through the year, but availability opens up in mid-2022. I know I've seen this design before. I think I don't know if I've talked about this in the podcast before, and I may have to at some point. But I do watch sometimes those shows on the Travel Channel or Home and Garden, where they, you know, the weird houses, you know, I think there was a show where they showed just bizarre looking homes. I think one like this, not the same exact one, but one like it was on an episode of that show. It was a show that the episode was about a UFO house, and this UFO house I think was in a different country, but it was a similar design, I think. I'm pretty sure anyway. Considering the design came from the late 60s, I'm not surprised. I'd seen it before. You know, considering I was born in the early 70s, I'm going to be turning 50 this year, folks. In September, I'll be 50. All right. I think that is it for today. There's not much more to the story here. I've already read everything that's there. This story was from the Nerdist website, Nerdist.com. All the stories that I talked about in today's episode will be available in the show notes. You can click the links to see the images and or videos that were in the stories. Thanks again for tuning in to my podcast. I do appreciate everybody who listens to me every week and people downloading my episodes. Definitely check out my other show with Marianne and Jamal. And tomorrow, Friday, at 7 p.m. Pacific time, I'm going to be doing a live stream over on getvocal.com/channel/206geek. Or you can go to stream.206geek.com. It'll take you to the same place. And you can tune in to a live stream where I basically do the same thing here, unless people jump on, and then I'll have a conversation with those people. I think I might have some friends pop in. They said they were going to last week, but they, I guess, double booked, or they had something else come up, so they couldn't. So they said they would come in this week. So tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific time, go to stream.206geek.com, and you can check out the live show that I will do. And again, thanks, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.